Well, let's officially get started, Ben, and we got you on the call.
Yes, you have. Good morning.
Wonderful. Welcome, welcome. We're so excited to have you. And for those of you new and have not yet heard the name Ben Woodward, you're just going to, it's going to reverberate in your mind for days to come after this call. So we're super excited to have you on the call, Ben. So I'll turn it over to you and take it away.
Excellent. Thank you. Well, thank you very much, Molly, for having me on the call this morning. And to everyone that's joining the call, it's great to be a part of your team and to support you in building a unique business. I want to spend a bit of time this morning on a particular subject that is very, very important for ensuring your business success. And the subject, of course, is centered on planning. This is really important. I would encourage you to take the notes if you've got the chance. I heard when I dialed in that the call was being recorded. You may want to listen to it afterwards as well, just to make sure that you pick up on things that are as helpful as possible. But like I said, my objective this morning is to help us put plans together that will guide and control our businesses in the way that we want them to grow and develop. We all join NECAN, or whenever we have a venture in life, a pursuit, a goal or ambition, we want it to have the best outcome, but that isn't achieved simply through wishing and wanting. It comes through planning and coordinating. I want to share a couple of thoughts just to give context to this. What is a fundamental element, of course, to planning is the use of time. And we live our lives, of course, in the present, one moment at a time. But with each tick of the clock, the present becomes the past. And the past can never be changed. It's gone. It's finished. But it's also true, however, that with each click of the clock, a part of the future becomes the present. And so what's important here is that the key to a successful and happy life, in my opinion, is to strive diligently to always make the most of the present. We can't control the past because it's finished, but every second takes the present in. That takes the future back into the present. So we need to focus on the now in order to do that. Critically, I think the greatest loss of power that there is, the loss that results from the loss that results from the failures of individuals to reach their true and full potential. I think there are many reasons for this. But if we reduce them to a few common denominators, I would suggest that the most important ones are the failure to do adequate, realistic planning, a lack of desire, commitment, and dedication, failure to use our time effectively, and lastly, the failure to correct one's mistakes. I think it's important in our journey through NECAN to recognize that last one, that as we grow and as we plan and as we have our expectations set, that we will make mistakes, but that's a part of the journey, that's a part of life. And we need to accept that as a part of our journey, but be willing to correct them when they occur. What we don't want to do is observe our failures or our mistakes as something that defines us and then impedes us from progress in the future based upon that definition of failure. I think that's a very common mistake that people make. We need to recognize that in order to grow and to develop, we need to have our plans, but we also need to recognize that they won't always be perfect and that we'll need to course correct from time to time and acknowledge our faults, our weaknesses, our inadequacies, but continue to evaluate and reevaluate and to keep moving forward. I really like this metaphor, this example, when it comes to planning. I want to use, since I'm a lover of language and words and literature, and that's one of my wonderful hobbies, is I love to read, but let's take for a moment the 26 letters in our English alphabet. We can repeat them forwards and backwards, but when we do, they have little meaning because they've not been put together with purpose or direction. However, when they are given purposeful direction, the end product is incredible. We get poetry, prose, heartwarming songs, sacred hymns, scripture, scientific writings, and such forth. The results do not come, however, without effort or without purpose. Interestingly, Ernest Hemingway, I'm not sure if you've heard of him, but he's a very famous author. once that he found it necessary to rewrite the opening chapters of his books 45 to 50 times before he felt they were ready for public consumption. Of course, what this tells us is, when he put that kind of effort forward, he was able to produce what many consider to be wonderful reading. Now, it's interesting, of course, that we get all of this from 26 letters in an alphabet. Wonderful poetry, great prose, scientific writings, great discoveries, scripture, music, song, all of this comes from 26 letters of an alphabet that are put together with purpose and direction. And of course, it's the same with our lives, it's definitely the same with our business. So with that in mind, I want us to consider how we can put our business together with purpose and direction to create a wonderful masterpiece that is your own. There are some fundamental elements, perhaps like the letters of the alphabet, that if we don't put them together and keep an eye on them, then we won't get a beautiful masterpiece. We'll get something quite the opposite. So recently I sent out a spreadsheet to the Diamonds and Royal Diamonds, asking them to fill it in and to submit it and send it back to me, to give me a direction, a guideline from them of what their plans were for 2016. It wasn't supposed to be do it this way or not at all. It was just a guideline. And some people sent in their own ways of filling in the report or the plan. Some people wrote it out separately. Some people didn't fill it in, just articulated it in a different way. And I was totally fine with that. The objective here was to identify the critical behaviors and activities in their business that are going to be strategically planned to take them forwards. It has been said many times in the past in business that if you can't measure it, you can't manage it. So it's important that when we take our goals and our vision and our aspirations, we need to distill it down into a structure of activity that we can measure, manage, control, and manipulate in order to take our influence, put it onto the business, and move it forward. So what I did in that spreadsheet was I identified some key indicators. Again, and this is where the note-taking perhaps kicks in, because there are some critical behaviors that will lead to success in MECAN. The first point, and of course having a plan, is to have a vision, because the plan is the physical expression of your vision. I had a conversation with Molly just last week, and I said, in having your vision, it needs to be bigger than you are, especially if you're going to be take the role of a leader. I can't have my vision for MECAN as the president of the company. My vision cannot be to create enough sales to give me personally a nice bonus. That can't be it. If I do that, things fall apart for a number of reasons. First, it doesn't involve anyone else in their agendas other than my own. If you knew that my goal was that, how confident would you be in the success and future of the business? Because my goals are very, very short-sighted. How can we have a sustainable, profitable business if my expectations are simply to serve myself? It would fall apart very quickly. At the same time, I can't possibly expect to get the engagement of others in our cause if our cause is centered exclusively on me. So what we see is, as a business builder, as a leader, we need to treat our businesses as something much greater than we are. We need to connect with the cause that MECAN has of humans being more. But you've got to look at it as to how it can affect and influence your team and make your vision something bigger than you and something so big that it encapsulates and embraces everyone that joins your group. When you have a vision and a goal like that, then all of a sudden you can enlist people in your cause, enroll them in your endeavors, and really start to make a meaningful difference in shaping and influencing others in your team so that the collective result is positive. So the first thing to do is when you're establishing your vision and your goals, to think outside of yourself and to think so big that you involve everyone that's a part of your team in the cause. Now the great thing is, as a collective group like this, you can all think together as to what you'd like to accomplish. And what that does is it really unites you. It gives you a common purpose. And when you've got unity and purpose and direction and expectations, then you really start to foster and build your team. So all things start to come together very harmoniously when you have this as your fundamental beginning. So as we're approaching the new year, frighteningly, as we're approaching the new year, please start thinking now about your goals, but not in the context of yourself, in the context of the collective team. That's the critical starting point, and it has to be the starting point if you want to succeed in NECAM. The second thing is to have a tangible, specific, measurable, definitive end. What does it look like? We want to make sure that your goal is not something that is simply fluffy or feel good emotionally, but that you can tangibly reference it. For example, you might want to say, excuse me, you might have a goal of making a difference in people's lives, changing the world, and helping people improve their health and well-being, but you've got to be able to measure it. Like I said, if you can't measure it, you can't manage it. So you've got to put your goal into measurable terms. It might be, as a leader, that I am going to develop 3 platinums or 2 diamonds or 6 golds or whatever it might be in my team as a demonstration of making a difference in my group. You know, of course, that if you develop other people in your team, the knock-on effect is that you will rise with the tide. So there is an instinctive benefit here that comes to you as a consequence of helping others. But you've got to put, maybe it's going to be, and I would encourage it to be more centered this way than rank advancement, because this is a business. Before you joined NECAM, the relevance of being a gold or a platinum or a diamond didn't exist. You joined NECAM because you wanted to earn a certain level of income and do it in a way that is meaningful to you and to your values, and doing it in a way that will help you enjoy the journey as well. But it's often, when you set up business, it is going to be income-driven as a significant part of that process. So have that perhaps as a goal too, so that you can drive it that way and get tangible results versus some superficial ones. So this brings me to the point that I really wanted to emphasize this morning.
There we are. We can hear you there.
That brings us to a critical point of being able to get that tangible, measurable goal that encapsulates and embraces the collective team, and then breaking it down into monthly, weekly, and daily activities. You've got to look at where your business is at now, look at where you want it to be in 6 months and 12 months' time, and then break it down into monthly chunks and that are measurable and goal-oriented, which are your short-term goals, and then break those monthly goals into weekly and daily activities that you can both be held accountable to and be accountable to help others to be accountable to as well. So what are the critical activities on a weekly and daily and monthly basis that you need to keep your attention on? The great thing is everything that we incentivize in NECAM helps you see what's important. That's the great value of the plan. So we've identified some critical behaviors. The first is getting retail customers. As we've introduced this year, come January, we want everyone to be doing some retail activity in order to qualify for their commissions. We've also just redefined what a quality enrollment is and made it nice and simple now that it's 500 points of retail sales. Now, this is really important because this is something that if you can get bred into the culture of your team, I want you to imagine for a minute if everyone in your organization was doing 500 points of retail sales each and every month, what that would do to volume in your team collectively and in your own personal group, and how that would influence your commission checks. This is a subtle thing that changes everything in a network marketing business, but so often network marketers neglect it because they don't always consider it to be the noble endeavor of their business. They like to talk about the dreams and the aspirations, but if you don't back that up with the substance and the critical behaviors, then it all becomes hot air and fluff. I don't want you to have that. I want you to get excited and have the dreams, but we've got to put it into action. And the fundamental duplicable activity is getting a few retail customers and then helping others to do the same. So let's set it as a fundamental goal that you measure, that how many customers am I going to gather on a weekly basis or a monthly basis? How many quality enrollments am I going to have in my team? How many business 21 clubs am I going to work towards? These are all critical behaviors. Quality enrollments, retail customers, business 21 clubs gives you that with a bit of speed and a bit of focus. How many ABCs am I going to participate in? How many people am I going to help and mentor and coach? If I'm a platinum or above, how many people am I going to personally coach and mentor to help them in achieving their goals? How many rank advancements am I going to have in this month? And as you break it down to those core activities, and as you work with your team and have them do the same, what you then have is a plan of action that you can follow up on. Because this then starts to lead to other business building or team building activities that can help you to get your business focused in the right way. For example, you might say that I'm a platinum and I'm going to make sure that I'm involved in a 21 club every month as an A, as the expert. In fact, I might even be involved in two or three as I'm working with my team in order to do that. I'm going to make sure that I have my quality enrollment activity myself, which means I'm going to have at least 5 to 10 customers that I go out and get as soon as possible to make sure that I've got a steady flow of customer activity. If you want to keep things simple in NECAM, and this is a critical point because we've introduced recently a lot of changes. If you want to keep things really simple, the rule is really straightforward. Do not focus on the minimums. When you focus on the minimum activity required to get by, the minimum activity required to qualify for a commission check, then you get caught in all of the nuance and the obscure scenarios that if a storm strikes on the 30th of the month and the power goes out and my grandmother passes away, what happens in this situation when? And all of a sudden you get all of this obscurity, complexity, and difficulty. But you need to understand a critical point here, that if you're wanting to grow your business, if you want to thrive and prosper, you cannot do that with a mentality that is fixed on doing the bare minimum. That does not work. You do not become an inspiration to others. You will not become a great ambassador for change. You will not achieve greatness in your own team and in your own business if you're focused on the bare minimum as your fundamental behavior. It doesn't work. And so it's really, really important that as you set your goal, you keep away from the bare minimums. Don't strive just to get your minimum 100 points in customer sales, because what if at the 11th hour, the customer that you thought was going to place an order, for whatever reason, doesn't? Then what happens? You throw everything at the last hurdle, and you lose the race. And that creates stress and frustration, anxiety, discontent, and all that ugliness that you just don't want to have in your life. So keep away from that line and go out there and get 10, 15, 20 customers so that you don't ever have to worry about it. That makes it nice and simple. Go out there and do more than 500 points in customer sales to be well away from the line of the bare minimum. Go out there and mentor and develop as many people as you can to help them get to silver as soon as possible. If you have that focus on helping your team stay away from the minimum, you will resolve and remove an awful lot of stress and headaches. That is something that I really think is important. So identify your key measurable activities. I would encourage you, since this is Molly's team call, work closely with Molly. And I think if Kerry's on the call as well, that your team work closely with Kerry Piercy and her group as well, that you work closely together in identifying what are the key behaviors that we need to keep on top of each day and every week. As you set these goals, what you will find as leaders is the things to focus on in your business meetings start to reveal themselves. For example, someone might say to you, I'm going to set a goal to be a quality enrollment and get 10 customers. I want to do that over the course of the next week. I also want to make sure that I reach out and recruit 3 new quality enrollments by the end of the month. I'm going to do that by doing a 21 club and teaming up with my sponsor to help me to achieve that goal. That's a great month of activity right there. As you follow through that process, if you've got a couple of people doing that, you're going to want to say, so what are you going to do today or each day this week to achieve that goal? How many people are you going to speak to? And how many presentations are you going to show? You've got to keep on breaking it down to the activity that comes into the present moment. Many people are good at setting goals for what they want to achieve next year, but they struggle to break it down to the activity required in the moment, in the present, that is required of them to move forward. identify together as a group what are my key activities, and then hold each other accountable. Accountability, remember, is not just identifying the deficit. I have a bank account, as we all do here on the call, but my bank doesn't just give me a statement when I'm in debt, when I go overdrawn. It does the opposite. It tells me when I'm in credit. It tells me how much interest I'm earning, how much good I'm doing. And that's important, that when we hold each other accountable, it isn't to identify the weakness or the failure. It's also to give us a real opportunity, real-time opportunity, to give people credit for their successes and for their efforts and for their accomplishments. And it might even be, congratulations, you got your first no today. We're so proud of you. That means that you're out there doing something. We all get no's. Join the no club. Awesome. And then you move forward. And at the same time, at the end of a week or at the end of a month, you can evaluate this behavior, this activity, and then you can say, okay, look, I can see from your activity that you went out there and you spoke to 5 people every day this week, but you only got a couple of presentations or commitments for presentation. I want to listen to what you're saying when you're inviting people to hear a presentation, because the conversion rate doesn't seem to be too strong. Or you might have a number of presentations, which is great, but we're not seeing the conversion rate from presentations to sign-ups. There's a gap here. What's going on? And then you might discover in that process, you're not doing the follow-up as you should. You're extending the invitation, but you're not following up to make sure that they keep their commitment. We need to do some training on this, because I've seen a couple of people struggle with that. So on our weekly training or in our monthly team meeting, we're going to have some special training this month or this week on the importance of follow-up and how to do that effectively. You can do some research. Go online and Google if you're unsure as to how to do it yourself. Or turn to me and know that I'm a resource to your team and say, we need to get some training or some help on how to follow up and to help people make and keep commitments. And then all of a sudden, you're not just having meetings for meetings' sake, but your meetings then become a powerful source of immediate relevance in helping people to achieve their goals. Then you've got also immediate and timely recognition in your group. You've got a focus on activity that is moving people forwards, and you're supporting them in growing and developing their skills week after week, month after month. I think this is really important. It adds value to the activity. It gives focus to the structure. And going back to that point that I said before, think of it like the letters of the alphabet. We can read them front ways and back ways, and they have absolutely no meaning to us because they're just letters. But when you put them together with purpose and with direction, they can become poetry, they can become music, they can become scripture, they can become science, they can become anything you want them to be. Isn't that wonderful? And so too with these activities, as you put them together with direction and purpose and have accountability and a team focus, and you think outside of yourself and think big enough to allow anyone that joins your team to be a part of it and to be included, you get music. You get music in your business. You get poetry in your business. You get wonderful things that stir people's souls, lead them to change, lead them to get involved, lead them to celebrate, lead them to become a better person, and lead them to get meaningful results in their business. And this is what it's all about. So let's identify together within your group. And if you want me to come back and support in this process, please know I'm happy to do so. But let's group together and identify the critical behaviors on a weekly, daily, and monthly activity basis that can lead you to where you want to be. Make sure you've got the follow-up, have the accountability, support each other, make it a team effort, and I'm confident when you do that and you give that direction and purpose and focus, you can't help but succeed. It then simply becomes a matter of time, a matter of persistence, and a matter of improved effort. And with that, how can you not fail? So I want to pass the time back to Molly and say thank you very much for letting me be on your call this morning. And if you've got any questions, of course, I'm happy to spend an extra few minutes, if that's of help to you, to take any questions you might have on the subject.
Wonderful. Ben, that was awesome. Thank you so much. I've got a few pages of notes and a cramp in my hand. I'm so excited to put these things to work. Does anyone on the line have questions that they'd like to ask Ben? It may take a minute for them to unmute their phone.
no question, Ben, but thank you very much for your insightfulness. That was terrific.
Oh, thank you so much. It's my pleasure. Like I said, my goal, my objective, is really just to help you achieve yours. It's one of the unique positions that I've learned in this business. That every year we've been going through this process ourselves in the corporate office. That we take stock of where we're at. We look at how the business is performing. We look at where we want to be next year, and we make plans accordingly. We identify our key performance indicators, our KPIs, and we set these goals. But what I've learned in the process is typically in a corporate environment, they'll set goals where it might be we want to raise sales by 6% or we want to improve retention by 5%. And often those types of things don't really inspire me all that much because 5 or 6% just isn't very inspiring. But what I've found is when I can go out to the field and say, what are your goals? What are your ambitions? What are your hopes and dreams? And when I get that back and I add that all up, it far outweighs what our goals could possibly be. And so then I go, well, boy, if I just collect all of that and help everyone achieve their goals, we'll knock our goals off the charts. And that's a really exciting thing. Each of you can have your own individual goals, but when you start to collect the goals of your team and incorporate that into your plan, that'll blow your goals out of the water. And that's the exciting thing to me, is what this can do for us, is it suddenly makes our opportunity so much bigger and more realistic if you make your team's goals something that is more concrete to them. One of the points, just a quick point on this. I had a couple of people say to me when I asked them to submit their goals, these leaders' goals. Because again, my agenda there was I want to know what the field's goals are so I can understand what expectations I can support throughout the course of next year. But a couple of people came back, and a number of people, because they didn't understand this process and that concept, were saying, well, how can I really have any confidence in these numbers that you want me to fill in, Ben? Because these are just my numbers. How do I know that these are going to really come to pass? And the answer was, well, they won't if you do it in isolation. I don't build the corporate strategy and plan in a vacuum. I don't sit in my office and close the door and do it all by myself and say, this is what I'd like to see happen. That's a wish list. What I do is I go to each department head and say, here is the vision for next year. This is what we want to accomplish within the parameters of your responsibility, with the confines of the resources that you've got. And this applies to each of us on the call today. With the resources that I have, with the time available, I'm a busy mother or father. I've got a job here and I've got responsibilities here. But with each of these restrictions on my time, what can I contribute to make a difference? And then come back and make it count. And that's how you get your goals. But when they all put that together and I review and I go back and forth and they tweak that, change that, this isn't quite there yet or this is unrealistic, we shape it together. But eventually it all comes together and I have confidence in the plan. And you can have confidence in your numbers too when you don't do it in isolation. Unless, of course, you're brand new and it starts with your personal activity and going out there and finding new people to join up and partner with and to create your team from scratch. So whether you're brand new or at a point where you might need to work from scratch, in that case it might be different. But otherwise, it's a collective effort. So
that's awesome, Ben. Ben, this is Carrie. I have a question for you.
Hey, Carrie.
Thank you for being on our call this morning. By the way, you're awesome. I'm taking lots of notes like Molly. My hand cramp hurts. Anyways, so if you were out in the field, what would you recommend people to be doing to meet new people, to bring on new customers on a daily basis? What would that look like for you? What would you be doing?
Well, I think you've always got to appeal to your strengths. For example, I've seen in the past someone went to the business and then they tap into a particular demographic, maybe sporting communities or stay-at-home mums, for example. And they'll tap into them, and everyone will go, and those around them will go, they're really thriving there because they've tapped into how our products can help athletes and those that are interested in fitness. This is the way forward, and they'll try to do it, and they'll struggle and fail. And the reason for that is because you've got to work with the audience that you're connected with. personality, and that will vary from person to person. For example, if I do the school run every afternoon, I've got lots of children, and I'm meeting lots of parents there, that might be a great place to network. Not necessarily a great place to set up appointments, because understand, you've got two activities here that I think are really important to differentiate. You've got adding people to your contact list and then setting up appointments with people on your contact list. The two are very different, because what I have found in my experience in this is we can add people to our list every day, I think quite comfortably, mm-hmm. by being out and about talking to people, just being friendly and being a nice person. You can add names to your list when you're out doing your shopping, when you're doing the school run, when you're out and about, when you're at church, or when you're at a social group or whatever it might be. But taking that person from the contact list and adding them to your I'm going to contact them and set an appointment list is very different, because there is a bridge from those 2 points. And that bridge is called building relationships. So just because you've added someone to your list, it doesn't mean that they're ready to be spoken to about the business yet. You've got to build the relationship first, find out some relevance there where you can add value to them, build the rapport, build the trust, and then reach out and contact them and take them from the list onto the contacting call. So there are things that you can do every day to that point to add names to the list. But I think, like I said, just to reemphasize, adding someone to the list doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to invite them to hear a presentation straight away. Sometimes we don't add people to our list because mm-hmm. we think we need to add them to our invite them to a presentation straight away, and we know they're not ready for that, or the relationship isn't developed to a point where they're ready for that, and so we don't do anything. But getting someone's contact details doesn't mean that they have to be ready, and it doesn't mean that you have to contact them immediately just because you've added them to your list. But we do need to make sure that our list adding activity is something that is dynamic. So we can go to that point then. We can go to places where we're speaking every day to people, being friendly, being nice. We can also look at joining different communities or networks. There are some people that do networking breakfasts, mm-hmm. where they do business lunches, that type of thing. Blogging and trying to find online contacts is a new way of doing things that requires a little bit of practice, perhaps for some discovery, some learning. But there's ways where you can go out there. And if I was totally stuck, I use Google so much, it's unbelievable. I would go onto Google and ask the question, because there are so many people out there now on the internet that don't just have something to say on the subject, but they've written books on it. They have organizations. Your social media, I would encourage you from a social media perspective to set up a different account other than your personal one, and have a business Facebook page, a business Instagram, or a business Pinterest, or a business Twitter, for example. So often we blur the lines there, and we don't get the results in social media that we could do because we're using our personal accounts. I have a personal account for Facebook, and I have a work account for Facebook. And there are some guidelines and some rules that really help you use social media well. But that is a strong way of developing a contact list. Let me give you one example on this, Kerry, which will kind of blow your mind a little bit. My wife had been, a lot of people have suggested to my wife in the past that she should set up a blog or a vlog. A blog is a video, like a YouTube channel, yeah? So you set up your own YouTube channel, it's on what you want to talk about, and people follow you and subscribe and watch and all that kind of stuff. And it's very, very popular right now, and some people get tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, some even millions of followers. And it's ridiculous, but it's a growing, incredible trend. But a lot of people have said that to my wife, because she's got 6 kids, she's expecting a 7th, and people just find those types of stories interesting. But she's a bit of a private person, so she wanted to experiment with it. So she set up a YouTube channel. It took her all of 20 minutes to do. She didn't know how to do it at first. She learned by going onto YouTube and asking the question. And YouTube shows you how to set up your own channel, how to put keywords in there so that people can search for you and find you and all that kind of stuff. But all of the instruction was there for her. All of the tools were there, and it was all free. So she experimented. She got braces earlier this year. She got them off last week. She was excited about that. But she got braces earlier this year. And so she thought, you know what? I'm going to set up a YouTube channel on what it's like to have braces as an adult. Now, if there isn't a more obscure and random subject than that, I don't know what is, right? But so she grabbed that obscure random subject, and she posted her first video, which was all of 2 or 3 minutes, of her saying, so I'm an adult, I got braces today, this is my experience, this is what it looks like. She showed her teeth to the camera, really not an attractive look, but she did all of that stuff, and then she posted it online. The next morning, she checked to see how many, she'd had over 300 views within 24 hours. She didn't send out an email blast to her immediate network. She didn't go onto Facebook and say, guys, I've just set up a channel, please come and like it, watch it, follow it. She didn't do any of that. And she got 300 views. Can you imagine signing someone up and saying, I want you to get up a contact list of 300 people within the next 24 hours that are interested in learning more about what it's like to have braces on the first day as an adult?
That's fantastic.
That's impossible. And yet here today, when we get people joining us in NECAM, one of the first things that we say they've got to do is you've got to sit down and write out your 100 names list. And we do that the old style way, the old conventional way, and yet they can go out there, and the critical thing is, what are the key words? This is how the internet works nowadays. What are the key words that people are searching and that they are looking for what you do? The great thing about what you're doing here is it's not saying contacting. The key word isn't prospecting. The key word isn't making phone calls. It's none of that stuff which a lot of us might dread and fear. The key word is work from home. The key word is prosperity. The key word is happiness, abundance, fulfillment, personal growth. It's all of that stuff that we love. And when you set up a blog, your own YouTube channel, like I said, you could have it done at 7:39 now. You could probably have it done by 8 o'clock. Just by going onto YouTube and saying, how do I set up my own channel? You'll show it, it's free, and before you know it, you type in those keywords, you talk about those subjects, you put it out there, and before you know it, you'll have people that will start to watch your channel, they'll start to subscribe, which means the next time you post something, they get a little note saying, a new video has been posted, and off they go and they look, and they might like and share and all that kind of thing, and then you can link that to your other social media sites, such as your Facebook page, or your Pinterest, or your Instagram. Link them together so that people can see, and they can share and like and recommend and so on. You can link that back to your personal webpage, or you can have a post on your personal webpage that links to that channel. But the more you do that type of thing, the more you start to attract an audience. Learn the rules behind that, because like I said, there are people out there right now that all they do is talk about themselves. There are teenagers that go out there and say, I'm going to the mall today, and this is what I bought. I'm coming home, I'm opening it up, and I'm recording this, so you can see me opening up what I bought from the shops. And they'll get 200,000 views. And you go, what the heck is that? Yeah? Why can't we do that with us? We're saying, do this, and by the way, you can make money in the process. They're not making money. They're just watching themselves. Reality TV is a frightening trend today. It's on the television, but we can all become our own reality TV stars with YouTube. And couple that with NECAM. Yeah, couple that with NECAM, where you've got a business behind it, because ultimately that's what they do it for. The more hits they get, the more views they get, the more they can monetize their vlogs, their channels. But you've got a personal webpage with exclusive products that you can get profit from every time a product's sold there, and you can expand it internationally or around the country by getting other people to do the same. You can connect and create a network across the country of interconnected websites that all promote the same thing where you all profit share. And that, I think, is something that I would be, if I was to go out there and do it right now, that's where I would want to start looking. I'd want to use some of the old conventional stuff as well, but I'd want to get a balance. What I would suggest, just one last point on this, Gary, is a term called omni-channel marketing. This is a new kind of buzzword that's been popping around in business over the last few years, where in order to maximize your business, you recognize that there are multiple methods of distribution. You might have your online aspect of your business. You might have trade shows. You might have your retail stores. You might have social media. You might have PR. You might have a host of different things, mobile and what have you, where they are different channels for driving your business forward, getting customer acquisition, selling your product, and so on. It's the same in network marketing. You've got different channels of distribution. You'll have your customers. You have your part-time business builders. You have your full-time business builders. You have your online activity with your personal webpage. You have your social media activity. You'll have your key core demographics, your stay-at-home moms. You might have your church groups. You might have different audiences, trade shows. You should have a number of different ways that you can reach out to people and recognize where the strength of your business flows. And then from there, you know where to spend your time and devote it accordingly. So very long answer, but I hope that helps.
No, that was awesome.
Beautiful.
So beautiful. I think what I'm hearing you say is connect in many different ways with many different people. I love, too, what you said, Ben, about this person may be on your contact list, but you may not be contacting them right away. I love that. Go out and make as many friends as you can. Be nice to people. Just connect with people. Get out of your home and do that. And then you also have avenues of doing it from in the home. Ben, I just had a thought while you were talking. Is there any way, because I feel like when you speak, there's like this wealth of information from you. But if I had you in my back pocket all day, it would be fantastic. But I was thinking, what if you sent out, you know, tip of the day from Ben, and, you know, our emails, because just that tip alone, I was thinking while you were speaking, I wish everybody in Meachen knew that. And I know in doing my research and looking at other companies, they get a lot of social media training. A lot of it. I have my very best friend is in another company, and it's amazing what they're being taught and told and the training on. And I think that as leaders, we're craving that. We need that from the top.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm happy to work on that. And what I'd like to do as well is if you can think of some key questions here that you can come up with, like some of the ones that we've discussed today. We've just introduced our online training module or platform, and we want to continually add fresh content there as well. And
great.
What I would like to do is do things like, you know, let's do some interviews where maybe the likes of you and me, Kerry, or you and me, Molly, we sit down and we do a Q&A together, and we record it, and we make it a module that people can just go online and access so that all of the training tools are in one central spot. But because we're adding new content and it's relevant and it's involving the field as well, we can increase the engagement and the learning there. But we can do things like that and say Q&A on how to use social media, or how to go out and contact, or how do we make the bridge between adding people to our list and then reaching out and setting up appointments, that type of thing.
Fantastic.
You name it, we can do that stuff. What I would suggest is come up with some questions like that. Let's set up a time and let's speak after this call where we can get a couple of those things put together over the next couple of weeks.
I'm all in.
Yeah, excellent. Because you're right, we need more and more of this. And my challenge is being able to get out to as many people as possible. And technology is the best way for me to do that. But connecting it with teams like yourselves helps us get the reach out further because, it personalizes it just a little bit more.
Absolutely. Anybody else have any questions on the call for Ben?
I've got one, but it goes through a whole other topic, so I'm going to save it. I wrote it down. I'll save it for our next gathering. I think it's a good next section to head into.
Cool. Well, like I said, by all means, have me back. My objective here is to help and support you as much as I can, because I want you to know that I love you guys. I genuinely want to see you succeed. And it's a collective effort. And as much as I can help, I want you to know that I've got your back, and I'm here to support you as much as I can.
Thank you so much, Ben.
Thank you, Ben. That was, we appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's what we needed. And we'll be in touch. Thank
sure,
you so
sure.
much.
My pleasure.
Make it a great day, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.